Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by Pastor Dave here at the Seed Christian Fellowship. It is our prayer that you will come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Today, we're going to be looking at chapter 24. Let's begin around 36 to 53. We're going to pick up, and the title of this message is Words to the Skeptical and Scared. With his new assignment request approved, the CNN news cameraman quickly used his cell phone to call the local airport to charter a flight. He was told a twin-engine plane would be waiting for him at the airport. Arriving at the airport, he spotted a plane warming up outside in a hangar. He jumped in with his bag, slammed the door shut, and shouted, "Let's go!" The pilot taxied out, swung the plane into the wind, and took off. Once in the air, the cameraman instructed the pilot, "Fly over the valley and make a low pass so I can get shots of the fires on the hillside." "Why?" asked the pilot. "Because I'm a cameraman for CNN," he responded, "and I need to get some close-up shots." The pilot was strangely silent for a moment, and finally, he stammered, So, what you are telling me is you're not my flight instructor." What a case of mistaken identity. Have you ever mistaken the identity of someone or something? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead caused even his followers to mistake his identity. At the tomb, Mary Magdalene thought Jesus was the gardener. The disciples on the road to Emmaus thought Jesus was the only one in Jerusalem not to know what terrible things had just happened in Jerusalem. In the Gospel of Luke, we have three different records of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It would be like our detailed doctor who was painting a tapestry of three different panels. One panel is the story found in Luke 24:1-12. That we read on Easter Sunday, if you were with us. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women go to the tomb early in the morning, and they find that the stone's rolled away, and they see two men glowing like lightning. These two angels say to the women, quote, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Luke 24, verses 5 through 7. Dr. Luke tells us that the women ran back to tell the disciples the good news. The disciples think the women are talking nonsense. However, we learn that Peter ran to the tomb next, only to find the tomb empty. Peter walked away wondering what in the world has happened. This is that first panel Dr. Luke has painted for us. The second panel would be the story found in Luke 24:13-34. And if you were listening with us, we talked about it last week. We studied this, and this panel would be painted with Cleopas and another, probably Mary, his wife, walking home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And out of the blue, Jesus was walking alongside them. As they walked and talked, Jesus opened up all the scriptures to them, beginning with Moses and the prophets, explaining to them all that must have happened to the Messiah. Even after all of this, they still have a case of mistaken identity of their mystery man who has joined them on their walk to Emmaus. It was not until Jesus broke bread with them that their eyes were opened. Luke 24:32, one of my favorites. They say, quote, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us?" What would it be like for our hearts to burn within us? What would it take to know the real Christ and not a case of mistaken identity regarding him? What would it take for us to pick up and run back 7 miles that we had just walked in order to tell others that we have seen the risen Christ? Why is it that we have such a hard time seeing Jesus come alongside us in our lives? Why is that we mistake his identity time and time again? Well, today we're going to turn to that third panel of Luke's magnificent tapestry of the resurrection story. Today, may our eyes be open once again to see the risen Christ. May our hearts be strangely warmed as we open up God's Word. Let us pray. God of all grace and truth, we come today to have our eyes open so that we will not suffer from a case of mistaken identity. Warm our hearts with your word, your truth, and with the empty tomb. May we feel your love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness for us. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have a man in a church who bought one-year Bibles. We will gladly mail you a Bible. Just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll get you a Bible. Luke 24, 36 to 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything just must be fulfilled that it is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem and with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Well, point one, resurrection reality. Let's talk about that. Again, as always, place yourself in these stories. Be a part of the living word. Let us imagine we are in that upper room gathered together and huddled in fear. Now let us introduce Dr. Luke's three panels of resurrection stories and three cases of mistaken identity. Mary Magdalene thought Jesus was a gardener. Cleopas and his companion on the way to Emmaus had no clue who was traveling with them. Was this mysterious traveler the only one who did not know what happened in Jerusalem? They all had a case of mistaken identity. After Jesus opened up the scriptures to Cleopas and the other disciple, after Jesus broke bread with them, they immediately ran 7 miles back to Jerusalem to tell all those gathered in the upper room that they had seen the risen Christ. Can you imagine? It is still Resurrection Day. Jesus' disciples have run the gamut of emotions for one day. Are you there in the story with me? What a day. Do you think after Cleopas shares his news that they are all talking at the same time? Imagine a crowd like this one day. What is going on after all these people seek out and tell us that Jesus is not dead, his tomb is empty, and he is alive? Not just in Jerusalem, but he was alive over in Emmaus too. I imagine the group, I think they're just asking questions, making statements, wondering out loud. Joy, excitement, bewilderment, confusion, scared, and even skepticism are running rampant in the room. The doors are locked because of fear, and then suddenly, Jesus walks into the room and he says, "Peace be with you." Imagine the scene. Huddled together, locked doors, hiding, and now they hear the good news of Jesus being raised from the dead. Jesus is alive. All their hopes that were being dashed are now being rekindled. Dreams that were shattered are being restored. To top it off, all of this chaos, Jesus walks into the room and he says, "Peace be with you." Eirene Aineen. In Greek, Shalom Aleichem. The common greeting in Hebrew. What a day. This has been for anyone inside that upper room. Here is a lesson we can glean from this third panel on Resurrection Day. Jesus wants to bring peace to our fears. Let me say that again, because boy, we're living in a world of fear. Jesus wants to bring peace to our fears. Jesus wants to bring peace to our bewilderment. Jesus wants to bring peace to our doubts. Jesus wants to bring peace to our confusion. Jesus wants to bring peace to all who are skeptical. Jesus wants to bring peace to those who are scared. Listen, that is the good news. No matter what kind of day you are having, Jesus wants to bring peace to your life. Let me say that again. No matter what kind of day or night, I don't know what time you're listening to this, no matter what kind of day or night you're having, Jesus wants to bring peace into your life. What happens next is another profound example of mistaken identity. The disciples are gathered together in the upper room. They have heard from Mary Magdalene, Cleopas, and the other disciple that they have seen the risen Christ. Mary thought he was the gardener. Cleopas and his companions had thought he was just short of being an idiot. They were wondering what in the world was going on now that Jesus himself is standing right in front of them. What is their response? They think they're seeing a ghost. Boy, that's a lot. We're in three different panels, three different stories in Luke 24. On January 28, 1945, as World War II was groaning to a close, 121 elite Army Rangers liberated over 500 POWs, mostly Americans, from a Japanese prisoner of war camp in the Philippines. And the prisoners, many of whom were survivors of the infamous Bataan Death March, were in awful condition physically and emotionally. Before the Rangers arrived, the primary Japanese guard unit had left the camp because of Japan's massive retreat to the Philippines. The new situation was precarious. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We want you to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. If you need prayer, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon and our prayer team will pray for you. If you need a Bible, email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship. I'll get you a Bible. I was sharing an illustration from January 28, 1945, and the Army Rangers have liberated prisoners from a prisoner of war camp in the Philippines, and they didn't know what to do. The men at this prison camp did not quite know what to do with their new freedom. If freedom was, in fact, it was, and then without warning, the American Rangers swept across the camp in a furious force. And but one of the most interesting facets of that story when I read it was the reaction of many of the prisoners. They were so defeated, so diseased, and familiar with deceit that many needed to be convinced that they were actually free. They were skeptical and scared. Was it a trick, a trap? Was it real? One prisoner, Captain Bert Bank, struggling with blindness caused by vitamin deficiency, could not clearly make out the would-be rescuers. He refused to budge. Finally, a soldier walked up to him, tugged his arm, and said, "What's wrong with you? Don't you want to be free?" Bank, he was from Alabama, recognized the familiar southern accent of that questioner. A smile formed on his lips, and he willingly and thankfully began his journey to freedom. Finally, far away from what had been for years the site of an ongoing horrific assault on their humanity, the newly freed prisoners began a march home. In the description of one prisoner, contrasting it with the Bataan nightmare years earlier, it was a long, slow, steady march, but this was a life march, a march to freedom. I believe that we are a lot like those prisoners. We have been set free from our captivity, and yet we stand frozen in our tracks. We have heard of the resurrection of Christ from the tomb, but do we really believe it? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is Jesus really the promised Messiah? Would Jesus walk into my confusion, my bewilderment, my doubts, my fears, my frustrations, my hurts, my addictions? Or maybe I should say our. Would Jesus walk into our confusion, our bewilderment, our doubts, our fears, our frustrations, our hurts, our addictions, our pain, our worries, our skepticism, and our scared hearts? Would Jesus walk into our life? Timothy Keller wrote a book, The Reason for God, belief in the age of skepticism. And he said, quote, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of the things that he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. So what? I always ask myself a so what question. I write it down in my Bible. So what do all these words mean to me? I'm going to ask, what do you believe? Are you a prisoner of skepticism? Are you frozen in fear? Are you scared like the early disciples? Wow. Point two, resurrection record. Jesus tells the disciples to look at him. A ghost doesn't have flesh and blood. Touch my hands inside. Luke 24:38. Then Jesus ate with them and grounded their faith in the resurrection by opening the fulfillment of the scriptures to them. Why does Jesus do this? I believe that Jesus wants his disciples to base their faith not just on the miracle of the resurrection, but Jesus wants all of us to believe in the Word of God written regarding what he has said. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Think of this. Jesus could have had any resurrected body he wanted, and yet he chose one identifiable way, scars that could be seen and touched. Why? I believe the story of Easter would be incomplete without the scars on the hands, the feet, the side pierced by the spear. When human beings fantasize, we dream of pearly straight teeth and wrinkle-free skin and ideal shapes and body tone. We dream of an unnatural state, the perfect body. But for Jesus, being confined in the skeleton of bones with human skin was his unnatural state. The scars are to him an emblem of life on our planet, a permanent reminder of his days of confinement and suffering. In Philip Yancey's book, The Jesus I Never Knew, Philip writes these words, I take hope in Jesus' scars. From the perspective of heaven, they represent the most horrible event that has ever happened in the history of the universe, the crucifixion. Easter turned into a memory. Because of Easter, I can have hope that the tears we shed, the blows we receive, the emotional pain, the heartache over lost friends and loved ones, all these will become memories like Jesus' scars. Scars never completely go away, but neither do they hurt any longer. We still have recreated bodies, a recreated heaven and earth. We still have a new start, an Easter start. The resurrection of Jesus is rooted and grounded in Scripture. Luke tells us again that beginning with the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, and everything regarding Christ must be fulfilled. Scholars say that there are over 300 prophecies of the Messiah. Other scholars say 300 is too high. The Holman Bible Dictionary lists 120 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament. Josh McDowell wrote a wonderful book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. McDowell stated in his research that there are 61 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament. In his book, Science Speaks, Peter Stoner took 8 of the prophecies and calculated the odds of just 8 prophecies being fulfilled by one man. The 8 he used were Micah 5:2, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem; Malachi 3:1, the Messiah would be preceded by a messenger; Zechariah 9:9, Messiah would come to Jerusalem riding on a colt; Zechariah 13:6, Messiah would be betrayed by a friend; Zechariah 11:12, the Messiah would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver; Zechariah 11:13, the Messiah's betrayer would try to return the 30 pieces of silver, but they would be refused. The betrayer would then throw them on the floor of the temple. Isaiah 53:7, the Messiah would not speak in his own defense. And Psalm 22:16, the Messiah's hands and feet would be pierced. Most scholars do not agree that Zechariah 13:6 refers to the Messiah, so we'll discount Stoner's odds regarding that point. The numbers Stoner used to calculate the odds were arrived by himself and over 600 of his students over the course of 10 years. When Stoner found reason for the numbers to be revised, he made them conservative. Stoner and his students found that in considering these 8 prophecies, the odds that they would be fulfilled by any one person who has lived between the writings of the prophecies, no matter if they were 400 BC, he totaled it up today. It's 100 quadrillion expressed in 100 to the 17th zero. Suppose that we take 100 to the 17th of silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They would cover the state of Texas 2 feet deep. Now mark one of those silver coins and stir the whole mass thoroughly all over the state, blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up the one silver dollar and say, this is the right one. What chance would he have of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had in writing these eight prophecies and having them all come through in one man. From their day to the present time, providing they wrote using their own wisdom. Listen, I lived in Texas. It takes a long, long time to travel across the state of Texas. Jesus wanted the disciples and all who would follow him to know the truth and let the truth set them free. The truth of the resurrection is provided in the records of the Old Testament. Jesus said in Luke 24, 44 to 49, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are disciples of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. There are tons of historical reporting citing the evidence that Jesus is real, and Jesus was crucified, and Jesus rose from the dead. Look up Flavius Josephus and Philo of Alexandria, for starters. The remarkable story comes to us from the UK about a man who goes on vacation without telling anyone and returns in time to attend his own funeral. Sound familiar? For Michael O'Neill of Middlesbrough, England, death was just a vacation. Now we're not talking about elaborate near-death experiences here, but a real-life variation of death takes a holiday. On June 2, 2008, Michael decided to take a last-minute trip to Australia to visit a friend and made his plans without telling anyone. His neighbors, who had seen neither hide nor hair from him for days, grew worried and called the police. The police broke down the door of his flat only to find that he had disappeared, leaving behind no evidence that whatever happened to him. Honest mistake, right? But it gets weirder. A few weeks later, a death notice appeared in the local paper for a Michael O'Neill, another resident of Middlebrough who was about the same age as the traveler who had gone to see his brother. Friends of the two, much alive, O'Neill figured that his worst fears had been realized, that until one of them received a postcard from him confirming that while he was indeed down under, it was not in the way they had thought. Michael arrived home on August 11th to find his front door smashed in, police watching the flat, and his neighbors seeing him on the street believing in ghosts. Everyone he knew thought he had risen from the dead. My wife and I have been on a roller coaster for the past 450 days. We have lost her mom, her dad, my brother. We have lost many of our dear friends. We have taken on the responsibility of taking care of people. So what? So what? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die, whoever lived by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Father God, we want this kind of peace. We want to have hearts to be strangely warmed by the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, Lord, so that we will find peace, a peace that surpasses all of our understanding. Where we are doubtful, give us peace. In the middle of our fears, give us peace. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you. and so do we.